Welcome to Money Myths Busted, the myth of the frugal millionaire. I'm really intrigued by this topic, you know, because we hear so much about penny-pinching your way to wealth.
Yeah, exactly. Latte factor, anyone? It's almost become a cultural touchstone.
Right? And honestly, I've always been a bit skeptical. Like, sure, saving is important, but is it really the whole story?
Well, that's what we're here to unpack, right? Is it the myth of the frugal millionaire or the making of one?
Exactly. So to dive in, let's talk about what wealth actually is. The input text goes way back, talking about its origins in Old English, wheel.
Interesting. So it's not just about money then? It's a broader concept?
Right. It's about valuable assets, possessions, things that can be used in transactions.
Which, I suppose, has evolved over time from burial tools 35,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Dot to stocks and bonds today. And the text emphasizes how context-dependent it is. $10,000 is a different story in the U.S. versus a developing country.
Definitely. And even the definition can change. Adam Smith, in The Wealth of Nations, focused on the annual produce of land and labor.
Right. So how much a society produces, which ties into the UN's idea of inclusive wealth, including natural, human, and physical assets.
So it's not just about what you own, but also your skills, education, even the environment plays a role.
Exactly. Which raises the question, if wealth is so multifaceted, can frugality alone really get you there?
Well, the text talks about net worth, right? Assets minus liabilities. Frugality can certainly impact that equation.
By reducing the expenses, sure. But what about the other side, the asset side?
Good point. The text mentions three categories of wealth: personal property, savings, and capital wealth from income-producing assets.
And I think that's where the potential disconnect with the frugality myth lies. Can extreme frugality actually limit your ability to acquire income-producing assets?
It could, if it means sacrificing investments in education, business ventures, or even networking opportunities. It's a balancing act, I suppose.
Right. And the input text also highlights the psychological aspect, the idea of scarcity driving value.
Oh, yeah. If something is abundantly available, it's not as valuable. But if it's scarce,
then it has greater potential for wealth creation. So is the frugality myth playing on that scarcity mindset?
Possibly. Making people think that by restricting their spending, they're somehow increasing their value. It's a fascinating psychological angle.
It is. And we see it throughout history, too. The text mentions frugality in different periods, from the American colonial period to World War II.
Interesting. So it's not a new concept. It's been woven into our social fabric for centuries.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Sometimes tied to moral and religious values, sometimes to economic necessity. But the question remains, is the key to wealth or just one piece of the puzzle?
Well, let's explore that further. The text also delves into investment management, which seems crucial for building wealth, right?
Absolutely. It talks about managing securities, diversification, and different investment styles, things that go beyond simply saving money.
Right. And even within investment management, there's the concept of money management, maximizing gains and minimizing losses. It's a whole other layer of complexity.
Exactly. And then there's the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early. They emphasize frugality, but also strategic saving and investing.
So even within a movement focused on early retirement, it's not just about frugality. It's a broader financial strategy.
Yeah.
Precisely. And that's what we'll be dissecting in this episode. The relationship between frugality, investment, and ultimately wealth creation. It's not as simple as some might suggest.
It's definitely going to be an interesting conversation. Looking forward to unpacking this further.
So we're talking about frugality and its relationship to wealth, right? It's fascinating how the input text touches on everything from ancient history to modern investment strategies.
Hmm.
Yeah, it really highlights how complex this whole idea is. I mean, you've got everything from the latte factor to the FIRE movement. It's a lot to unpack.
It is, and I'm really struck by the historical perspective, like frugality during wartime, rationing, making do with less.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different context than, say, someone choosing to live frugally today.
Totally. And then the post-war boom. Suddenly, consumerism explodes. It makes you wonder about the psychological impact of going from scarcity to abundance.
Right? Almost like a pendulum swing. And then later in the 20th century, the rise of technology. Suddenly, luxury takes on a whole new meaning.
It's not just about furs and diamonds anymore. It's about gadgets and experiences. Exactly. And alongside that, you have this growing awareness of environmental concerns. The text mentions the 1976 Act pushing for resource conservation. It's like frugality gets reframed in an ecological lens.
Yeah, thrifting becomes a thing, not just about saving money, but also about reducing consumption, reusing, recycling. It becomes almost a social statement.
And it's interesting how the text positions thrifting as a way to push back against social stratification, almost a rejection of consumerist pressures. I hadn't thought of it that way before.
Me neither, but it makes sense. It's like creating an alternative value system, one that isn't solely based on material possessions.
Absolutely. And then you have figures like Benjamin Franklin extolling frugality alongside industry as virtues for financial security. It's a classic American ideal, right? Hard work and careful spending.
Yeah, and it ties into that whole pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality. But I wonder if that oversimplifies things. The text also talks about investment management, which seems pretty far removed from simply saving pennies.
Right, and that's where things get really interesting, because if you're too focused on cutting costs, you might miss out on opportunities to build wealth through investment.
Exactly. The text mentions diversification, managing securities. It's a whole different level of financial strategy.
It is. And it's not just about picking stocks either. The input talks about asset allocation, risk management. Yeah, there's a science to it.
Right. And then there's the whole debate about performance measurement. How do you even define success in investment management? Is it just about returns or is there more to it?
That's a great question. The text mentions risk-adjusted returns benchmarks. It's clearly not a simple equation.
Definitely not. And it makes you wonder if the emphasis on individual frugality kind of distracts from these bigger picture financial strategies.
So we were just talking about how focusing solely on frugality might not be the whole story when it comes to building wealth, right?
Yeah. It's like you can cut back on lattes all you want, but if you're not also thinking about the bigger picture investments, asset allocation, all that, you're missing a huge piece of the
puzzle.
Exactly. And the input text really dives into that. Explore everything from the history of frugality to the complexities of modern investment management. It's fascinating how it connects these seemingly disparate ideas.
Totally. I mean, who would have thought that thrifting could be seen as a form of social rebellion? That's a pretty interesting take.
Right. It's like pushing back against this whole consumerist culture, creating your own value system.
But then the text also brings in figures like Benjamin Franklin, who championed frugality alongside industry. It's not one or the other. It's both.
Yeah, it's that classic American ideal. Work hard, save your money. But the world has gotten so much more complex, financially speaking. I mean, Franklin wasn't dealing with derivatives and hedge funds, right?
Exactly. And that's where the whole frugality myth starts to unravel a bit. Because if you're too focused on pinching pennies, you might miss out on opportunities to build real, lasting wealth through strategic investment. It's like being so busy saving for a down payment that you miss the chance to invest in a booming market.
Right, and the text emphasizes that. Diversification, risk management, understanding different asset classes. These are crucial concepts that go way beyond simply cutting expenses.
Absolutely. It even gets into the nitty-gritty of performance measurement. Like, how do you even define success in investment management? Is it just about raw returns or is it about risk-adjusted returns? There's a whole science to it.
It's a lot to wrap your head around. And then there's the FIRE movement, which is interesting because it does emphasize frugality. But it's not the only focus. They're very strategic about saving and investing, too.
Right. It's like a more nuanced approach. They're not just cutting back for the sake of cutting back. They're doing it with a specific financial goal in mind. Early retirement, financial independence, it's a whole different mindset.
And the thing is, even within FIRE, there are different levels of frugality. Some people go to extremes. Others take a more moderate approach. There's no one-size-fits-all solution.
Totally. And the input text also touches on this idea of opportunity cost. Like, if you're so focused on saving a few dollars here and there, are you missing out on opportunities to invest in yourself, your education, your business?
Yeah, that's a really important point. Sometimes spending money strategically can actually lead to greater wealth down the line. It's about investing in your future, not just hoarding cash.
Exactly. And that's where the whole idea of wealth gets really interesting, too. Because it's not just about how much money you have in the bank. It's about your skills, your knowledge, your network. It's a much broader concept.
Absolutely. And the text explores that, too, talking about the historical evolution of wealth from tangible assets to human capital. It's a fascinating journey.
It is. And I think one of the key takeaways here is that there's no magic bullet. Frugality can be a valuable tool, but it's not the only tool. You need a holistic approach, one that incorporates smart spending, strategic saving, and wise investing. It's about finding the right balance for you.
Yeah, and that balance might shift over time, depending on your circumstances, your goals, your values. It's a dynamic process, not a static one. It's about constantly learning, adapting, and evolving your financial strategy. It's definitely food for thought.
So we've been talking about frugality and wealth building, and it seems like there's a real push and pull there, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's like this balancing act. The input text and comments really highlight how important saving is, but also how it's not the only thing.
Exactly. Like Lori at 3 years said, saving can be a tough multi-year process. Not everyone has that kind of discipline, you know?
Right. And it's interesting how they talk about forced savings, like automatically increasing mortgage payments or maxing out retirement accounts. It's almost like tricking yourself into saving.
It is. And Becky's point about wealth being invested over and over, that's key. It's not just about hoarding cash. It's about putting it to work.
Totally. And Wealthy Doc brings up a really interesting point about decreasing costs being more effective than increasing income because of lower needs and the progressive tax system. Hadn't thought of it quite like that.
Yeah, that's a good insight. And then OMD talks about how $6 saved is a dollar, but a dollar earned is, what was it, 75 cents? Because of taxes, I'm assuming.
Right. So saving has this double impact. You're not only keeping more money, but you're also avoiding the tax hit on earning that extra dollar in the first place. It's powerful stuff.
Yeah,
it is. And Jay Ceezy's comment about knowing how much of your net worth is due to savings versus investment returns, that's a real eye-opener. It forces you to confront your financial reality.
Absolutely. And Gozo brings up the pay yourself first principle. That's something we hear a lot, but it's so important. Prioritizing saving, making it a non-negotiable part of your budget.
Exactly. And George's anecdote about unconsciously adjusting spending habits, that's fascinating. It's like frugality becomes ingrained, almost automatic.
It does. And Rick talks about wealth being relative, helping his sons build wealth relative to their incomes, even if they're not in high-paying fields. It's a great perspective.
It is. And My Finance Kits mentions the peace of mind that comes with having an emergency fund. That's something we often overlook, the psychological benefit of financial security.
I'm definitely northly protected.
Right, and Paper Tiger's reflection on generational expectations is really interesting. How previous generations might have focused on increasing their standard of living along with their income, rather than prioritizing long-term wealth building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a shift in mindset. And Dave's comment about doing your best to earn and save until it hurts. That's a bit extreme, maybe, but I get the sentiment.
I do too. It's about pushing yourself, making sacrifices early on to reap the rewards later. And get a grip's point about saving being a mindset, not just a thing you do. Think that's crucial.
Absolutely. It's about changing your relationship with money. And Cody at Dollar Habits talks about frugality by choice versus necessity. That's a distinction I think a lot of people can relate to.
Hoping to reach that by choice stage eventually.
Me too. And Justin's comment about earning a million but spending a million, that really drives home the point. Income isn't everything. It's what you do with it that matters.
Exactly. And Terry Pratt brings up a really important point that frugality on a minimum wage income is. Well, it's a different story. It's much harder to make a significant impact when you're barely making ends meet.
It is. And then Mrs. Wow talks about the snowball effect of frugality, how once you start, it can kind of take on a life of its own. You start seeing more and more opportunities to cut back.
Right. So it sounds like the consensus here is that frugality is a valuable tool, but it's not the whole story. It's part of a larger equation that includes earning, saving, and investing. It's about finding the right balance, the right strategy for you.
Exactly. And it's a journey, not a destination. It's about constantly learning, adapting, and refining your approach. Thanks for tuning in to Money Myths Busted. We hope this episode has given you some food for thought. Until next time!